Good evening, everybody. So hope we all ready to add on to our cups. So many things we are adding, and we have to keep emptying our cups so that we keep on adding many more, so that we have all the things. It don't spill out, no, if it is more in that cup. So yes, today now we have I can say the researcher and at the same time designer, spiritually as well as professionally, with us. So professionally, he is an engineer in electronics and communications from Mysore University, worked in many IT companies, both in hardware and software designing. So he has done many research, having patents and that. At the same time, spiritually, from childhood, he is practicing this Raja Yoga meditation, I can say over 40 years in that sense. So in that way, his profession also added to the spirituality, and he has done research with the topics about the self, God, and even the meditation. And I can say, like, the videos, again, you can find them in the YouTube, the documentaries, they are like eternal truth, who am I, eternal truth, God, and meditation experience. So these are the documentaries which speaks about understanding what I, who am I, and about the God, and where everyone can understand it easily. And also he has written an e-book, Understanding Consciousness, which a research work and is available for download. It will be published soon. So in that way, we can get into that research mode of understanding the self, which we have started from the morning today. Yes, we has been introduced ourselves as I am a soul, and about the God and all that. So we can see the scientific part of it, of understanding the self. So we have Girish Bhai with us to share about his research about the spiritual aspects of self and the God. Thank you.
Good evening. Hope you had a good rest in the afternoon. You are able to see this, all the people here? Yeah. Okay. Light is going on the screen. Light can be switched off. This light. That's not important. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, consciousness. That's the topic. I'm sure you would have, many of you would have been curious to know about consciousness. You would have searched many journals and then gone through and searched about consciousness. How many of you are interested in this topic, and then who have searched about this? Not that did a considerable search. At one point of time in our life, we will be questioning ourselves as to who am I, and then what is that, you know, about these thoughts, my awareness, my existence, etc. So, most of that were answered in the morning. So today, in this session, we will collect from all the angles. So it is one of the most highly researched and explored topics in the world. The neuroscientists believe that this consciousness is arising out of brain, the brain activity. A lot of neurons are there in the brain, neuronal cells are there, and then somehow, consciousness is evolving out of that brain, activities. And somehow what we call as mind is part of this brain. And this is how the narrative has been built, and then research has been going on, spending billions of dollars. There is a, when Obama was president of USA, he established one research institute exclusively on consciousness. And then, what all happens in brain. So, people from spirituality also talk about consciousness. People from physical world, that is neuroscientists, also talk about consciousness. And then people from medical background, they also talk about consciousness, doctors especially. And then, what is the relationship between them? Are we talking about the same consciousness everywhere? So how many of you are doctors here by any chance? Nobody. Okay. So first, let's try to understand this body, myself, and this world around from various aspects. The first thing to understand is that, you know, all these things, this mic or this mobile or this laptop, all these things are not having consciousness. All these material things are not having consciousness. I think every one of us will agree with that. And which means, if I break these things, if I break these materials, I keep on breaking, what will I get in the end? If I keep breaking, I will powder it and then keep breaking, what will we get? Scrap? No, still further. People from atoms, yeah, somebody told. Atoms, molecules, electrons. That's what we get in the end. All these, the whole world is made of these basic fundamental particles like electrons, neutrons, protons, atoms, molecules. So we get those things. What it means is, when these things don't have consciousness, for the time being, we will, before arriving at the definition of consciousness, we will understand consciousness as some cognitive experience or some awareness. You know, then we will come to the accurate definition of consciousness. So, you know, like these things don't have consciousness. That means that the atoms, molecules, electrons, etc., which are called fundamental particles, basic physical particles, they also don't have consciousness. If you go through in the internet and then give some search words, people are building this narrative that, you know, like electrons may have consciousness, these things may have consciousness, etc. But this is a very simple empirical empirical relation. When these things don't have consciousness, even the basic particles don't have consciousness. Now, when those things don't have consciousness, whatever they make up, whatever they build into, they are all not having consciousness. So these basic electrons, protons, I will call them as physical particles. We call them as physical particles. They make up these bodily cells, the cells in the body, and then also in the brain. Brain cells are called neuronal cells. So, you know, these basic particles form all those things. So what it means is, by the same logic, extension of the same logic, even these bodily cells and then brain cells don't have consciousness, right? Just think over. Then where is the consciousness, you know, like emanating from? So which is the entity that is having consciousness that we are looking for now? So what are the scientists are telling? They are telling so many things, but they are not able to answer this simple question. But they keep telling only one thing, that brain is a very complex organ, 86 billion neurons, trillions of connections, like, you know, information will flow from one neuron to another neuron in a very complex way. So one day we will discover all these things. That's the narrative build-up, and then, you know, like all of us, we forget this basic thing and then we keep thinking that one day we will get the answer, whereas the answer is within ourselves. So the consciousness is not an aspect of insentient. Yeah, you can see these slide here, where these basic matters like electrons, protons, etc., physical matter, as well as physical energies, okay, heat, electricity, etc., they all either form into, they also manifest as earth, water, air, fire, and ether. These physical materials can, physical matter will either make up as materials that which we see here around, and they also form the cells and tissues of plants and then develop into plant kingdom. We call them semi-sentient, we'll come to that later. And then cells and tissues of animals and then animal bodies, and then cells and tissues of humans and then human bodies. But all these things, when we see a dead body, there is no difference between a dead body and this materials. So in that sense, all are made of physical, basic physical particles. So this is one point to understand. So consciousness is not an aspect of insentient. By the way, medical definition talks about life, but it doesn't talk about sentience or insentient. It only talks about these metabolic activities, such kind of things, you know, like respiration, all the activities that we physically see, physically experience. But it doesn't talk about thoughts or experiences. That is a separate topic. Now we will see how they are all related. So the second aspect, when we, like, you know, this brain is often compared to a microprocessor or a computer. And then, you know, like, what is the job of a microprocessor or a computer? There are a set of inputs and then there are a set of outputs formed by the program running on the computer or the processor. Now, by the same logic, if there was a, like, you know, if the brain is supposed, is compared to the computer or a processor, there should have been some intelligent program running in our brains, which will be directing all these things. You know, like, there are a set of inputs and then there are a set of outputs, which are predictable. Now, is there any program in the brain which will say, for all the inputs you take, that is whatever we see, hear, touch, smell, taste, these five things, you know, like, we know how these things are being input to the brain, and then is a program running in the brain which will convert these inputs into outputs. Is it like that? Just think over. Such a thing is not even possible. We don't know what will happen next in the next 5 minutes, leave alone after the tomorrow or another 1 hour. When I came here, my laptop was not running. Afternoon it was running, but when I came here and then switched on, powered on, the fan was not running. So we will always be, you know, like, subjected to unknown inputs day in and day out at every minute. So now, just like cortex, cerebellum, medulla, and then there are so many brain regions, there is nothing like an intelligence entity in the brain. And then brain is not intelligent to understand all these things. Somebody should be running the brain. So there is no evidence of the presence of any intelligence entity in brain that integrates different functions and organizes responses the way a program is designed. Any of you who have written programs, worked in software or something like that? Yeah, system is there. And there is no possibility of such intelligence entity because it is impossible to know all the stimuli to our sense organs and then manage responses. The third one. If you look at the famous neurosurgeons in this world, one name that stands out is Dr. Wilder Penfield. He was born in 1890s and in 1930s he started conducting brain surgeries, basically epilepsy patients. And by 1970s he had conducted more than some 700 surgeries treating epilepsy. What they essentially do is they will cut open the scalp using local anesthesia. And in the brain there will be some extra growths. They will remove that by surgery. Before removing that, they will do some experiments. They will give some currents and then they will ensure that patient is able to do all the basic functions without any problem, and then they will close the scalp, very much like the way machines are repaired. So when he was doing those surgeries, he conducted some experiments to understand brain and its functions, and then he did what all the brain surgeons, neurologists and neuroscientists nowadays follow, what is called as Montreal Protocol. What regions of brain is related to what kind of organs in the body. So he, he gives some current somewhere in the brain and then the hand goes up. And the doctor asks the patient, when the surgery is going on now, the patient is blindfolded, and then the the person is very much alive, and then he is given a current and then the hand twitches. The doctor asks, are you moving your hand? Are you moving your hand? The patient says, I didn't do it, you did it. See, the patient who is on the operation table says, I didn't do it, you did it. And then he gives current somewhere and then he starts speaking something. And then the patient says, I didn't make that sound. When asked, the patient says, I didn't make that sound, you pulled it out of me. See the words, like if the brain were to be that what we call as I, the brain would have told in a different way. It would have told why you are forcing me to move the hand, why you are forcing me to speak, etc. But the patient is very much aware that doctor is doing all these things by giving current in the brain. So he, like, you know, he was puzzled, perplexed, and then, you know, like, he sums up all these things in his book called Mystery of the Mind, A Critical Study of Consciousness and the Human Brain. Look at the title. So, you know, like, A Critical Study of the Consciousness and the Human Brain. In this book, he writes many things. The way the brain, the functioning of the brain can be understood is by having only one narrative, that there is a brain which is physical element which is separate, and we call what we call as mind which is separate, and both are running on their individual energies, separate energies, where mind, what we call as mind, is making use of the brain. That's what he writes. And then both of them will have to depend on the other to work as a human being. And then he also says that, you know, like, how a child is, he also explores many things, how a child is born, and then how the curiosity builds in the child to, you know, like, learn many things and then grow up, and then, you know, like, then about peace, happiness, love, how these virtues are built in the human being. All those things he discusses in this book. Very interesting. And then he also goes on to tell about, you know, like, mind of man linked with the mind of God. Now, when we say science, scientists, you know, we always think that they are atheists, and then they wouldn't have thought about all these things. They only, you know, deal about materialistic elements. That's what we understand, especially of the period between 1850s and 2000. Why? Because in 1850s, this Darwin came and then, like, you know, put forth his evolution theory, and then everyone started becoming atheists. There is nothing like morality there, you know, like, we are all coming from monkeys, and then from, there was a big bang, and then from there the human bodies are built, and then that's how we are allowed. All those things are there. And people got a very convenient reason to disagree about the existence of God, morality, ethics, and religion. So, you know, like, during that time, he conducted all these things, and then he writes this book. And then he says, brain is built in such a way that it can do the same thing, same tasks repeatedly, but it cannot do a creative work, a new thing. I am doing something, I can't do a new thing by the way the brain is structured. He gives a very clear statement. And then, that doesn't end there. He gives currents and explores, and then he writes in that book, there is no valid evidence that electrical stimulation, that is the process of giving electrical stimulation. You would have heard about EEG, like, you know, where doctors will put, you know, like, conductors all over the brain, scalp, and then produce some signals, electrical signals, which are mapped on a on the paper. So, you know, like, our mental state is reflected there, because, like, depending on our thought, our, you know, our thinking, our emotions, there will be electrical paths created in the brain, neuronal paths, what we call it as. There will be electrical activities in the brain, and that will be picked up by the sensors, and that will be plotted, and it's called EEG. Very, like, you know, it has been since hundreds of years widely used by doctors. So, and then when he was doing, you know, the surgery and then giving currents, he says, none of the actions that we attribute to mind has been initiated by electrode stimulation. He gives currents and then make the body to, you know, like, move and get animated. But he is also able to bring some emotions and memories in some cases. But what we call as mind is not, like, you know, exhibited through the electrode stimulation of the brain. There is no place in the cerebral cortex where electrical stimulation will cause a patient to believe or to decide. See, he says like that. See, if it were possible, I can give some electrical stimulation in the brain and then make me think the way anybody wants. Think positive, negative. But that is not possible. The patient is not able to change his thoughts based on the current given in the brain. So in the end he writes, what a thrill it is then to discover that the scientist too can legitimately believe in the existence of spirit. He says that. So it's a taboo. When a scientist says that there is a soul, spirit means soul, it's a taboo. Nobody would dare to do such a thing. But this book, in this book, he writes like that. And unfortunately, this is not a textbook for the medical people. It is one of his books, but like his other works are, you know, like very much followed in the medical education, but not this particular book. Okay, now we'll come to the fourth point. There are several unexplained phenomena in the brain, in the world. One is that, you know, you can go through in the internet. One is the random number generators. There are what are called as random number generators, which will reproduce random numbers. And when there are some global events like 9/11 or Diana's death, etc., it was found to give a fixed pattern, predictable pattern. And then there are Emoto crystal experiments, double blind experiments. And in a, and so the doctors have found that thinking and it's our experience as well, the our nature of thinking and attitude either accelerates healing of diseases or results in several medical conditions. Too many depressive thoughts, negative thoughts will result in a medical condition, you know, like which he will develop. Otherwise, you know, like a ill patient will get his you know, like healing faster by better thinking. And then there are these phenomena called out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences. Persons having small or no brain, even people having 20% of the brain or 2% of the brain, having IQ, and then they survive. And then past life memories, where a person is able to recall what happened in the previous birth. To all these things, except for the fourth one, doctor scientists, mainstream scientists say, it's a, you know, like it's a pseudoscience. They will give it because for them, what I see, what I experience, like, you know, physically experience, that alone is science. And then other things, wherever this like topics of mind thinking comes, it's a pseudoscience for them. But these are all very well recorded, you know, occurrences. How these things are happening? And then about fifth point. A scientist, a very famous scientist in the last century, Erwin Schrödinger, you know, like he was a quantum physicist. He was a physicist all along, like, you know, he won a Nobel Prize. In the end, you know, like he shifted to biology. Biology, the body is made of cells, and then cells are made of atoms, neutrons, basic physical particles. And then his question was, see, these, all this world, this, you know, physical particles, if you leave them alone, they will tend to become scattered. They will go scattering, you know, and then there won't be any cohesive, harmonious functioning from them. Some forces, external forces are required to make them work correctly. His question was how these basic particles are working in the bodily cells. So, like, you know, if you look at the one cell functioning, it's unbelievable. The way the activities happen in that, you would have all studied in your schools. The way the metabolism happens, the way the respiration happens within the cell I'm talking, it's unbelievable. And then he was, you know, exploring all those aspects, and then with so many physical phenomena, and then rules and laws, he says that, you know, those things are impossible without any force, to occur without any force. Left on them, if you have a bunch of electrons, they will just go random, unless there is a external force which will make them work in cohesion. And then all those aspects he writes in this book called What is Life? See, like even scientists also, they start thinking, what is life? What is that I am made of? How am I, like, you know, inventing all these things? When they are going deep into something, it's obvious that they also encounter these basic philosophical questions. And they too will be looking for answers. So he writes this book, What is Life? The Physical Aspect of the Living Cell with Mind and Matter. You know, there is this mind over matter, lot of discussions. He writes in this. And he says, after four chapters, where in the first four or five chapters, he uses, you know, like there is this Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, some other Paul Dirac's principles, many things like that, which will govern the motion of the basic physical particles. And then he comes to some conclusion in one of the middle chapters. He says, my body functions as a pure mechanism according to the laws of nature. That is his first statement. And then he writes, yet I know by incontrovertible direct experience that I am directing its motions, of which I foresee the effects that may be fateful and all important, in which case I feel and take full responsibility for them. See, even a scientist of his caliber has no experiment here. He writes his observation. And look at the third point. The only possible inference from these two facts is, see the way he is writing I. He is using the word I. I think that I in the widest meaning of the word, that is to say, every conscious mind that has ever said or felt I am the person, if any, who controls the motions of the motion of the atoms according to the laws of nature. That's the way he writes in that. Very interesting. See, this shows the predicament in the mind of that scientist who is not able to decide who am I. He has explored the greatest of the greatest things like quantum physics, and then he has won the Nobel Prize, but here he is trying to understand. Many of the scientists turn to East. He is one of them who turned to Vedas, Upanishads, etc. to understand what is happening. He thought that the answers are there and then he studied them. So, I, he is telling. And the one of the most important topic, relation between quantum and consciousness. Very interesting. See, like when we talk about spirituality or life, etc., there is always this discussion with many people. What is the scientific evidence? Where is the scientific evidence? So whatever we discussed previously, they are all scientific evidences, but this is something very interesting. During 1700, Newton proposed that light is made of particles. Light is a particle, not made of particles. Light is a particle. It will move in straight lines. And in 1800, a scientist called Thomas Young conducted some experiment, what is famously called as double slit experiment. He conducted that and then he proved that light is not a particle but a wave. Okay, so if light were a particle, this is that experiment. So, these are two slits and then this is the light source. Light passes through the slits and then falls on the screen. So corresponding to two slits, the light is falling on the screen. Corresponding to two bands are there. This was the expectation when the experiment was conducted. If light were a particle, this should have been the pattern observed on the screen. But what happens is, they will see a pattern which is typical of a wave. If something is a wave, it will give this kind of a pattern. I will not go into details. We can discuss offline. So it will give typically the way the water waves will interact with each other and then forms crests and troughs. That's the way it is behaving. And based on this, it was accepted that light is a wave. Centuries old, Newton's proposal was disproved. But in 1900, when Max Planck and Albert Einstein, they came up, they did say that, light has to be a particle based on some of their experiments. And then it was very well accepted that light is both a wave and a particle. It has got dual properties. It will exhibit both wave patterns as well as particle pattern. Now, in 1920s, as the technology developed, they used a detector. This is a double slit and there is a detector here. It's a photo detector. The light has passed through that slit. But whenever there is an attempt to try to understand, whenever the scientists made an effort to understand how the light is behaving as it is passing through the slit, it produces this particle pattern. This very act of observation or monitoring or the measurement is giving this kind of a pattern. So, it happened in 1920s and then they were all puzzled. So then, this theory came up that consciousness is affecting the matter. So very act of measuring. Who is observing? One conscious entity is measuring. But the brain is also made of particles. So, you know, like there is consciousness, separately called consciousness. When he or she is trying to measure that, it is giving this kind of thing. That means this consciousness is affecting the behavior of the particles. That was the conclusion of many people. But, you know, scientists won't keep quiet. They also have got their own prejudices. Sorry to say, they also have got their own prejudices. It is a crystal clear observation, but then they come up with many, many theories of their own, and they dilute the matter. In 1927, there was a conference to discuss this behavior, where top 29 scientists will assemble together, Albert Einstein, Niels Bohr, all the great names that we hear. They discussed about this behavior. And then they say, like, you know, there is a light is a, it behaves as wave and particle, all right. But there is also an observer effect. They don't bring the word consciousness. They say observer effect. When the person observes it, after all, why do we measure all these things? It is for the observer. So, depending on the observer, its properties change. That's what they came to conclusion. And what relation this has got to do with consciousness? Excuse me, somebody is talking there. Please don't speak. So now, last decade, a person called Dean Radin, he conducts a very interesting experiment based on that double slit experiment done some decades ago, what was done in 1920s. See, he uses a double slit setup where there is a laser beam and then there is a double slit here and then there is a screen. And these are all the people who will be sitting all across the globe. And then they will be logging onto the computer. This setup is made in California, San Francisco. And then they will log in, and for the first 5 minutes, they will think in their minds that they are not interested in this experiment. Attention away period for the first 5 minutes. And then they will think in their minds that light is passing through the slit. And for the next 5 minutes, they will be focusing on the experiment. For the first 5 minutes, it will give one pattern. For the next 5 minutes, it will give another pattern, which will clearly establish that thinking of a man, of a person, is affecting the behavior of the particle. It is there in the YouTube. You can watch it. And then, the people who did this experiment, they were all Buddhist monks, so that their thoughts are very clear, crystal clear. They can concentrate and they're honest. That's the reason. And so now that quantum mystery, it continues. But there are many, many people. When you go through the YouTube and then do your own research, you will find that many scientists try to debunk this theory. Because, you know, like, they have got their own things to prove. They say, you know, mind cannot do all those things. Whether you exist, whether you see this chair table or not, it is there. In the same way, whether you look at atoms or not, measure or not, it doesn't matter. But, you know, like, there will be probability. So they will bring the word waves, they will bring the word probability, and then somehow dilute the entire thing. Then they don't observe, mainstream scientists doesn't accept that it is due to consciousness, but it is a well-experimented fact. You can make your own conclusions. So all quanta, electrons, protons, neutrons. Later, it was found that all the particles, not just the light particles called photons, even atoms, molecules, ions, everything behave in this way. All these things, when not observed, they behave as waves or a probability. When you observe them or when you try to monitor them, they collapse into or behave as particles. So this is the interesting link between mind and matter. So why should the observation matter at all? That's the question. So with this, we have proved, we have come across many, many observations, scientific as well as medical. Now we can infer, based on all these things, that basic matter will be in some random state, unpredictably oscillating in space when not observed, when there is no attention. And consciousness is responsible for activities, behavior, movement of all atoms, electrons, ions and molecules. Observation or attention brings predictability in the behavior of the particles. And consciousness influences the matter irrespective of distance. You may be here, but your thinking or, you know, like all the decision making may affect anything anywhere in the world. And they're all significant and long lasting. And how to comprehend the consciousness, you know, like materialistic perspective cannot, of the brain cannot create our experiences. If we think that brain is having these cells, they do all these things, it will not. Then the first obvious question is, after death, why something will go wrong? And then what is death? And we have to contemplate and embrace the possibility that an immaterial or metaphysical, which we also call a spiritual entity with consciousness, is the one that operates the brain as well. We are forced to come to this conclusion, even otherwise. And exploring the immaterial and spiritual entity is very much logical and scientific. What is important is finding the truth. And metaphysical is always understood from metaphysical perspective only. It cannot be proved from physical viewpoint. I can't have a scientific instrument and then directly it will pick up the thoughts. That cannot happen. I am thinking, nothing can pick up my thoughts directly. Those thoughts can result in some physical phenomena which can be picked up by some instruments. But thought as such cannot be picked up directly. And consciousness can be understood only through consciousness, which is our direct personal experience. So now we will come to the next point where now science stops and then spirituality starts. We can't prove, in the morning was telling about soul, and then afternoon the sister in the later session talked about God. These things, show me with the instrument. That is not the way, because even air cannot be seen. We will experience it. Electricity, we cannot see it. But when we put our hand, we will experience what is that electricity. Anybody would have thought what, at least I had done once, I put my hand into that and then had a terrible shock. So all these things will tell. And then in the same way, by experience, by logical reasoning, by logical thinking, we can understand entities about like soul, God, and then not only understand, we can experience them. So who was the observer? Soul is the observer. Soul is a point of light. Point of light here. And then that point is speaking now. Now we will come to that. Morning also our senior brother was telling soul. That soul says, when I say I am I, it's me, it's I the soul, I'm telling all these things. So pointedly, scientists are not able to find out where the thoughts are arriving from. What is the source of thoughts? Here we can very well see that. And then, so existence of the soul is the reality. And the soul is speaking that, from that point, thoughts are created. That soul is directing the body to do all the bodily activities. And it is the soul, in the soul, all the activities are happening. I, the soul, am doing it. I think, and then it is called mind. I decide, and that faculty is called intellect. I do karma and then form my own sanskars, and that is called sanskars or latencies. Tendency is what we call it as. So now we will arrive at the definition of consciousness. Consciousness is the ability of the soul to think, decide and form habits. It includes everything. A thought is always, our thoughts and decisions are always, tied up with emotions, outlook, mindset, experiences, the knowledge we have. So consciousness is the sum total of what all is happening in the soul. So they are all happening simultaneously. So now we talk of so many things like perception, comprehension, leadership, IQ, EQ, emotional quotient, intelligence quotient, many things we will use. These are all aspects of soul, but not the brain. We should understand that these are all aspects of soul, the point of light, and not the brain. And that's how the transition starts from something physical to the feelings, emotions, virtues, values, religions, etc. And when we use the correct sentences, we will understand what it is. It is correct to say, I am a soul, rather than saying, my soul. My soul means, like, I myself am a soul. So, whenever I say I means the soul. And then I have consciousness. Consciousness is not synonymous with soul. Soul has consciousness. That small correction. Often it is interchanged, usually like an interchanged in its usage. And we can say, I have energy, which is spiritual energy. And when we are addressing the soul, we will address by saying he or him. So that there is this sentient entity, sentient feeling, the feeling of sentience is there in us. And we have to understand them as they are. What is table? Table is a table. What is chair? Chair is a chair. What is this body? Body is a body. We don't have another synonym for a body. In the same way, there is no synonym for soul. Soul means soul. We have to only comprehend that. Consciousness, soul, thoughts. We know what they are, and then we have experience of all these things. In the same way, we have to understand ourselves as soul, as thought, as mind, the way we understand body as a body. And then that's where the spiritual practices come into picture. So, all these things are happening in the same world. There is this physical realm and then the spiritual realm. In the physical realm, like, we are having all these physical bodies and physical particles. And then these are equations. There are so many equations around. And then there is this physical modeling. Everything is modeled scientifically. But there is no consciousness in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, all these entities exist. Souls. As many bodies, that many number of souls. Souls riding the body and the virtues and then consciousness. These are all the part of spiritual realm. Our effort should be to comprehend and understand as are, without any lens of... In the beginning, we may take the example of some... We may take some examples or analogies in the physical world. But afterwards, it has to be understood standalone. Then only we can pick up what that phenomena really is. So now, how is the soul and brain is interfacing? How are they interfacing? That is very important. We know how a driver drives the car. We know everything. We all are sitting in the car and driving it. We know that. How the soul is doing that? How I, the soul, am interacting with the brain and then operating this body? It all is in the intent. The brain may be a very complex organ, but it is a passive organ after all. And the soul is fundamentally active organ, active entity, and then one of the tendencies to express himself. So brain does the dual job. One is translation of inputs from soul to body, and then transfer of expressions from soul to body, and translation of inputs from body to soul. That is what is the brain doing. We are well aware of this magnet and magnetic field in which all the particles get aligned, iron filings get aligned. In the same way, soul is there, and the soul has got spiritual field. Now you remember that quantum experiment, the double slit experiment, which says consciousness affects the matter. So soul is there, all the particles around it within the body is working as cells and tissues, and soul is subtly connected to all the basic particles in the brain, and then there will be neuromuscular activity, and that's how we operate this body. So this is how the soul brain activities happens. So whatever I think will leave an imprint in the brain, like in the form of neuronal firing, etc., the neuronal muscular connectivity. And then whatever I perceive from this physical body, and then my past experiences, etc., will form a pattern in the brain which I, the soul, will comprehend them. They all are creating some kind of patterns in the brain. I will go faster now. And this explains our dreams, habits, neuroplasticity, OCD, wiring, etc. These are all there. So this also explains why better thinking will improve the mental health of the person. There will be cohesion in the working of the brain. As our thoughts are harmonious, in tune with the nature, like, you know, peaceful, happy. When we create these kind of thoughts, there will be such kind of patterns in the brain. And it is possible that over a period of time, even the person will change. The neuroplasticity will change. So, what is sleep? Sleep is nothing but a state in which the soul withdraws from the feeling of the body, gets detached and become bodiless. This is the trait of a soul, of a, like in a function of the soul, where the soul can become bodiless even while being in the body. And can, while being in the body, he can withdraw from the feelings of the body, which is detachment. And that's what is sleep all about. And then we also remember and forget. That's a wonderful capacity. And then what is anesthesia? Anesthesia is the induced detachment. Now, if you look at the medical, research papers, they say a person is rendered unconscious by all these things, and anesthesia, etc. But how the consciousness works is not known. That medical research papers themselves will tell. So, in spirituality, all these answers are there. The coma, vegetative states, they are all the same thing. So, if there is a problem to the soul, we have to treat the soul. If there is a problem to the brain or the body, we treat them. Now, coming from the bottom, human body is an amazing machine. It's an amazing machine that has got wonderful organs and unparalleled complexity. We know that. And then of them all, brain is perhaps the most mysterious. Its uniqueness is favorable for the soul to interface. All the control in the body happens from the brain. We know that. And that's where the soul resides and then operates this body through the brain. Though my thinking will create that kind of pattern in the brain, neuronal firing, and that results in that further couples to neuromuscular activity, and that's why I will be able to move my hands and leg limbs and so on. My happiness in me, the soul, will get expressed as smile on the face. And there is one more word, pran, or life, nothing but soul. Atma, soul, ruh, spirit, then any other name? Pran, energy, see, that's what. Energy is the, soul has energy. But it may not be totally correct to say soul himself is the energy. Soul has the energy, like power to think, power to decide. All these are different spiritual energies soul has got. But soul by himself, like if we call energy, it will be a bit misleading at times. So we have to understand soul as soul. And then either soul have got energy. So one is the physical energy, other things are spiritual energy. And the soul's functions keep soul keep the cells functioning. Soul's consciousness influences cells functioning. This double slit experiment we saw. Cells carry different molecules all over the body. We hear many stories. You would have come across many stories where a person called Anita Murjani, one fine day, she got up and then her cysts and then the tumors were dissolved. One fine day, when doctors had given a time of only some 2 weeks, she was able to survive, and then she is still surviving after years of tears. And then one doctor is there, there was a lesion in the brain, which was not operable and then incurable. With his thinking, which is meditation, he got it cured. So how these all these things happen? It is the power of the, one of the powers of the soul. So consciousness influences this matter, the matter in the body. And that's how, negative thinking may create a tumor. That also can happen. So, this is the organization of the nature. So, the same thing which we saw, but there are these souls riding on the bodies. The same thing is not happening in plants. That's why we call them as semi-sentient. Plants don't have souls. All these animals, birds, human beings, of course, we all are souls driving our bodies. Yeah, anybody was asking question? Like, no, we only are souls, we animals, birds, etc. And see, you call by any name, but it is better to call it as semi-sentient. The reason being, there are cellular activities, not driven by a soul, but the collective consciousness of the human beings. And all these things are happening by the consciousness of the souls. Yeah, that's a good question. See, there are many words that make rounds. One is living being, living things, sentience, consciousness, such kind of things. Sentience, when we call it, in English, in our Indian languages, Chaitana, you know, that is the meaning for the sentience. Okay, that aspect of living, live or life or living, that can be called as sentience. Consciousness is ability to do all these mental abilities, you know, like these thinking, decision making. Prajna, we call it as prajna in Kannada, in Hindi. And living things, see, it's another word. I don't want to use that word here. When you say living and thing, doesn't thing is an aspect of a of materials which are non-living or not having consciousness. Living and thing doesn't gel well. So we keep that word aside. Living beings, we are all living beings, soul and body, interacting. Okay. So, you know, there are many words put forward. I would like to restrict to these things. You can have your own wordings actually. And then there is nothing like a dictionary or a, you know, like a set of rules here. So sometimes sentience and consciousness are used interchangeably. So organization of the nature, soul's consciousness is acting everywhere. So which means souls are directly acting on the basic physical particles and energies. Now we were trying to explore what is the interaction between spiritual, physical and physiological, and then this is the one. There is a law of nature and there is a law of karma acting. So we are all acting within this. Law of karma we all know, and then law of nature is to with the way we are born, brought up, birth, adulthood, old age, death, this birth and death cycle. They are all karma. We will observe a minute of silence. We will be in silence till that song is over. I will try to wrap up soon. So these are the facts. My past consciousness decided my past and present. My present consciousness will decide my present and future. And harboring, developing and sustaining right consciousness is fundamental to what we get and experience in our life. And the soul consciousness is the highest form of consciousness. I will quickly run through. Soul is the one who is hearing through the ears. Soul is the one who is speaking through the mouth. This mouth is nothing but a microphone. And then soul is the one who is seeing through the eyes. And then whatever I see will get converged in the soul through the brain. Science and medical science can only tell that, you know, like in brain all these, like, you know, information converge. But what next? There is no interpreter there. That interpreter is the soul. And then soul is the one who is seeing through the eyes. They say, like, you would have come across many statements like eyes are the windows to the soul. So soul is seeing through the windows called eyes. And when we are all interacting, it is soul to soul communication. Actually, you know, we are only looking at our faces and we are forming our information. We are forming our opinions. But actually, what is happening is soul to soul interaction. I, the soul, am reaching out to you all, souls, and then that's how it is happening between us. So we are all connected to one God. Wherever it is, there is a connection between all the souls. Now we will do a 5 minutes of exercise. See, like, I hope many of the questions or confusions may have got may have been cleared, but many things may remain or new things would have come up that we can discuss sometime later. Now you observe this picture. This is body and there is a soul here. Just look at that and then make the thought. This is what I am. I am this point of light, soul. For a few minutes, just try to bring the awareness here. Looking at that, just try to bring the awareness here a little bit behind. Where in the brain, that is not important. That I am a point of light seated behind this. I am that. I am that. I am a soul. I am seated here within these thoughts. If some other thoughts come, just ignore them. It doesn't matter. Just again try to make these thoughts. We will all practice for a few minutes. Shanti. So practice this as much as possible. Anytime. There is absolutely no condition that, you know, we should practice at this time or something. Whenever you make time, whenever, you know, like possible, keep remembering this and then keep thinking that I'm a soul seated here. Hammering the same process, you know, will give to variety, will lead to variety of experiences. And then, so, and then practicing this one, that, you know, others are also souls. Just see what effect this simple practice has got in your life. Just the same, very basic thing. I am a soul, point of light. I am the one who is thinking, who is decision, who is making decisions. And then I perform the karma through this body. And then I form my own tendencies or latencies, that is sanskara. And then all our souls, just see these simple practices. That's it. And then you see what kind of changes you may encounter in your life going in the coming days. And the next thing is this. We are all connected to God as a point of light. Actually, the connection is between, not between this body and the Supreme Soul. It is from soul to Supreme Soul. So now we have to practice, consciously practice that I am not this body made of atoms and molecules. And I am a soul who is driving this body, and then I am getting connected to God, who is also a point of light, but there is a vast difference between soul and a supreme soul, which you have come through, which you know. So there are, you know, realizations, what is the benefits of, and then what are the benefits, and then how to inculcate this better consciousness. So that, like all these things, you can go through this book actually. If you can download this, the book on consciousness from this link, which contains all these things. And then a detailed explanation of all the things that we discussed so far. And there is this email. If you want this presentation, write to me. I will give the link to this presentation. Okay. Om Shanti.